Welcome to Changing Futures, the podcast aimed at helping Birmingham's most vulnerable people live more fulfilled lives. In this series, we will explore the importance of lived experience when working with people in the areas of homelessness, substance misuse, mental health and reoffending, acknowledging the link between trauma and later behaviour, how these issues can affect any one of us, but that some individuals are more at risk than others. We will hear from those whose lives have been greatly improved by the work of Birmingham Changing Futures Together and learn how those people have been let down in the past by the services and systems set up to help them. The series will explore the multiple and complex, often unmet, needs of individuals and focus on the benefits of lived experience in service design and delivery and collaboration. In this episode, we learn about the Lived Experience Befriending Service. When the COVID-19 lockdown began, the instruction of everyone in was issued. Birmingham responded and 70 rough sleepers moved into emergency accommodation. This was a one-off opportunity to achieve lasting change, and so the Befriending Service was born. An individual with lived experience befriended rough sleepers in emergency accommodation with the aim of building a bridge of trust between the service user and the services they need to access to change their lives. The befriender has had similar experiences. It means they understand the thinking of the person who was rough sleeping just a few weeks before. The befriender is also living proof that change is possible. It's this insight and understanding that is the foundation of the bridge of trust. Let's hear from a service user talking about their experience of homelessness and services before COVID.
I became rough sleeping about 6 years ago when I landed in Birmingham. I was put in a hostel, left the hostel because I breached my licence. And then when I got out of prison, a month later, they put me in a shared house. And that shared house, it just, I came to Birmingham to change my life. And getting put in a house with a bunch of junkies is not changing your life. So it's easier to be on the streets. The services have always been shit for me. They're never prolonged. I'm always getting bounced around from people to people. And honestly, this is the first time that I'm finding that people want to help. People want to do stuff, do you know what I mean? People want to get you off the street and into normality.
That journey into normality began at the start of the COVID pandemic and lockdown, when the local authority paid for rough sleepers to be accommodated in hotels around the city, which turned out to be life-changing and full of opportunities.
Imagine I could jump in the shower and have some food, and like people was giving a shit, you know what I mean? And the services, they put loads of services in the hotel. So if we had a drama, just come down, there's a council, there's shelter, there's changing, do you know what I mean? It's all these different organisations. It was great. And then from there, to go into like my own place, a council place, it was awesome. Overall, I was in a good place. I thought to myself, being getting housed in my own home was an excellent thing. Excellent.
Sarah Bruce was the first befriender in the project.
The purpose of the befriending service was to support the guys coming out into their own accommodation. So offering them a bit of emotional befriending, talking a little bit about fears that they may have, expectations, hopes, and maybe directing them to practical support. The befriending service operates in quite a simple way, really, in terms of people are referred into us, and then we would call, have a chat with them, see if that's indeed what they wanted. And if they did, we would carry on chatting with them, usually on a weekly basis, although people knew that they could call us if they needed to at any time.
So me and Sarah was like a breath of fresh air because she wants to help you. She's at Changing Futures, I think it's called that, because they actually do that. Meeting that woman was like someone's giving me a leg up for the future. For like, when this is over and I get properly settled in my place, yeah. I know I've got her there. Do you know what I mean? She'll be there. She pays for taxis for me to go up there so I can, do you know what I mean? So I can go there and have something to eat, put on some clean clothes, and then go and maybe play football, go swimming. She has made a lot of difference just by being there and offering the support, to be fair. It doesn't help. I'm a bit lackadaisy sometimes and miss appointments, late, don't turn up, but I've got a lot of drama still going on. So for me to like, she's been great. It's been great. Do you know what I mean? She's helped me a lot and it's all about what's coming, do you know what I mean? It's not about what's happened and It's a positive thing.
But being in a hotel was not a magic pill, and this service user would not have been able to make the transition to his own home without help.
I think it's made a really big difference, and that's what the guys have said. And I think that has partly been because of my lived experience in being in recovery from alcohol. And I think that although my path's not the same as theirs, they could see that, you know, I'd been down a similar route. And I think there was just a general feeling of looking forward and pleasure that they were getting their own accommodation, and that they had somebody who could actually get that, who'd been in that same scenario. I think the main success obviously has been that we've been able to support people and they've, you know, gone into accommodation, and we've managed to get that wraparound support that they've needed, and they haven't been left floundering, and that they know that there's somebody there for them, and it's a constant, so it's not several different people dealing with you, it's that same person ringing every week and saying, hi, how are you? Just checking in. And just keeping it simple, you know, and talking about people's goals and aspirations for life.
I can get travel, like bus tickets. She'll like, pay for a taxi to pick me up, to take me to go places. They help with getting jobs. They help with, furniture, food, everything. Yeah. It's absolutely great. We're given phones now, and it's not like we have to beg or plead for them. They give us phones so we can constantly keep in contact. Keeping in contact for me means I don't miss my doctor's appointment. I get reminders, do you know what I mean? It's easy. Like if I need to talk to people, like yourself or Sarah, I could just ring or text, do you know what I mean? For me, it's working.
And it's also useful to the No Wrong Door navigators, like Faiza Nazir, whose role is to partner up with service users and get them the help they need.
Big challenge is finding groups, what they can engage in that are going to be non-judgmental, where they can share the experiences and they're going to be with similar people like them with similar backgrounds. It's been difficult to find those kind of projects, but the befriending service has helped because it's been very supportive, non-judgmental. The client customer focus is pretty much people with complex needs, which is the clients that we work with. So it's been very helpful in the fact that I've been able to find those kind of activities, work with people alongside that, because it can be difficult in them accessing the community based on their backgrounds, and that they do face judgment on based on their previous situation, even the current situation, regardless of whether they're trying to improve it, they still do face a bit of bias. So they do need groups like this that help them. I think there needs to be more services like this that makes it easier for service users to use and to access as well. There needs to be more people in this kind of field where they're supporting service users. There needs to be more funding for projects like this, and they need to be longer term as well. A lot of the times that you find that projects are out there and they're very helpful and they're doing great and service users are really engaging. However, there comes a period of time where it just stops, and it happens very soon where that service user has not had enough time. So length of project is very, very important, and that is something that needs to be longer. Very often projects are basically hitting targets, which is necessary. However, it's very short-term targets, which is not feasible for us or people in this kind of field to be able to do to support the service user, because it's just not enough time. Working with the befriending service has allowed me to see what groups and activities and support they will provide, and it's also been able to help me support my clients as well, so in the areas that they want to expand on, such as more engagement, more working with people with lived experience and similar backgrounds and experiences to them, so they can just engage with people who are on the same level with them as well, who understand what they've gone through, and it's just easier for them to be able to speak to somebody. And it's been really helpful for them to know that there's other projects out there as well like this, where they know that they can turn to someone or they can turn to a particular group and could be with like-minded people.
Of course, it's still a very challenging time. What have the barriers been?
The main one has been COVID-19, where so many services have been closed or very limited. And it has been difficult for the service users where they've needed to, you know, engage with a service or they've needed support from a service. However, they've just been running on limited services and access. And also, like, regarding their housing and things like that, where we've had to call agencies on their behalf, whereas it's not been working very well because they won't talk to us. They need to speak with the clients or the service user. However, we've not been able to be there with them in person. So it's been very challenging in that aspect in getting them the correct support that they need, due to the fact that people want to speak to the service user directly, but it could be very difficult for them to even make that conversation due to either lack of phone, lack of confidence, previous bad experiences. So it has been a challenge in all aspects where we've been trying to get them the support, but it's been difficult due to the climate.
The barriers that people have faced, well, that is, it's age old, really. It's too many people and confusion about who's doing what. People not doing joined up working, which, you know, we've managed to achieve on this project. People slipping off the radar and maybe not knowing how to come back in to services. You know, it's really important that we work together so that we can find people again and try and help them to re-engage if that's what they want to do.
I'm getting support from Shelter, CGL, Changing Futures, the council, Health Exchange. I'm getting every single bit of help that I need. I just got to pull my finger out and accept it and take it, not think I'm taking a liberty by taking all this stuff that's being offered to me. Use it for what normal people do, go to work and have sunny lives. Yeah, I'm in this situation. I've got a one-bedroom council flat, which I've got 7 months probation left, no dramas. I'm getting help with my budgeting, I'm getting help with my food, getting help with my cooking skills, getting help just maintaining a normal life, to be fair. Next for me is about mental stability and then getting a job. That's the future. By this time next year, I'll be working, definitely, yeah. I just need, till then, I just need to, I need to get to this Health Exchange and get them to work on my head a little bit. You know, like when you get a new house and you get like your settee and you get your big things. Mm. These things are happening now, like the picture frames and the knives and forks. You know what I mean? That's what's happening now. The future's looking rosy for me. Thank you. So I'm moving into my own accommodation. I'm not very good at rent. I'm not very good at managing money, budgeting and stuff like that. So it was really hard, especially when I'm given everything. We're given everything. But if you don't know what to do with it, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's been really, really hard adjusting to having a normal life. And I'm 42 and it should be easy for me, but it ain't. And it's been hard, to be fair, but it's working itself out.
It's been an absolutely amazing, humbling experience to work with these guys who are so cheerful in the face of so much adversity. You know, COVID has hit. And a lot of them spoke about how they felt guilty because, you know, they were going to get houses or flats and they knew that other people were waiting for ages and ages.
In our next episode, we explore what will happen next, following on from the befriending service, as we head into winter in a city still very much in the grip of the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you for listening to Changing Futures, the podcast aimed at improving outcomes for Birmingham's most vulnerable people.